There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
Yes, glad to be back. Glad to be back. Regrettable Podcast.
And, good to be back on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Good to have you back. Here's our guest, Jay Lindley.
Yes.
Definitely not
so
a co-host.
Excited. Or never been here before.
At least the building host.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Been a fan for you guys for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What's new, man? Nothing. Nothing's new.
Everybody's
family in town.
No sicknesses lately?
No sicknesses. Okay. Flu last time. We didn't really get into that.
Right.
But, flu. I got it, then my baby got it. But it's crazy. It's like a baby has a better constitution than I do. You know? Like, it completely laid me low, and he seemed to do okay on it for, you know, the first day was bad.
Had a lot of fun with the flu, taking care of a healthy baby.
Yeah, yeah. It was awful. Flu was terrible. Mm.
Put you in the dirt, man, for
sure.
Yeah,
it did. It did, for sure.
Is it that new one they're talking about right now?
Must be
that's
that
really
new
kicking
one.
Kicking everybody's butt. Mm. That,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Both coming out of both
it
ends.
Must be
Biden flu.
Yeah, the Biden flu. Yeah, that one was. We were puking pretty good on it, but due to the coughing, it was a kind of cough I never had before, where it was real dry, like it wasn't producing, and it wasn't the type that would normally make you upchuck. It's tough to describe. But how many times either of us would start coughing on the bed and have to run to the bathroom to expel,
dang,
you know, and sick. It was weird. Like, even both of us remarking on it. Never had a cough like this before.
I love how politically correct he was.
Yeah.
Expel.
Yeah.
Ralph. Not productive.
Yeah. 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 Not productive.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. My freaking cough was lazy.
Yeah.
Immigrant cough. Yeah. And I've had shit in my lungs since then. You know what I mean? Like the day I started feeling better and came back to work, it felt like I had a belt around my chest here, and every time I would like cough, it was like getting tightened. That's what it felt like. So I was like, I'm definitely gonna die here in the next couple minutes. But you know, keep on chuggling, as who said that? That was John Fogerty.
Oh, okay.
Keep on chuggling, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
wow. So that's why we missed it. I remember texting you like, can't, that's impossible.
Yeah.
No way. Missed like 4 days of work. I think I've missed about 2 weeks of work this year.
In sickness alone?
In sickness. Wow. Between me, well, I got strep throat, flu, and then Miles also caught something where I had to watch him for a few days.
Now, is the setup to where you have like a certain amount of sick days per year?
No sick days.
No sick days. So they'll just come out of your either
vacation.
Your vacation or you don't
where
get
you
paid.
You don't get paid, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But there's an understanding going on, because there wasn't a day where I didn't go to work or have to do work.
Well,
or,
that makes sense too,
you know,
yeah. You still did. You still made something happen.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, you weren't able to physically be there while everybody else was there because you didn't want to infect them.
Yeah.
I have to wait for him to ask HR and be like, because you were saying last night you started the year with about 18 days of vacation.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm at now.
Those are left.
Yeah.
Dope.
Three. There's not a man alive. No man alive can do what I do on the, except for Jay Lindley. I could have called Jay Lindley and be like, hey, can you go program the station?
Yeah.
Because Jen got it too.
Nice.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know,
that's true.
What the hell were we to do? Yeah.
So you had to come in the night basically when nobody was around.
I came in the morning.
Spray everything down.
I came in the morning. I was too bad off in the night, but you know, you when you're sick, you know, you sleep all day. I was sleeping all day and then kind of awake at night, but then would go to bed at like 8. And then when you sleep that sick, I don't know about you guys, but I'll wake up every 2 hours thinking it's like, it's been 8 hours of sleep and you see it's like 11:30 and you're like, God damn.
And you go right back to bed.
Yep. Right back to sleep. No problem. But then it would be like 4. And I'm like, I'm getting up, hot ass shower, you know, crawl my way into work like way earlier than I ever get there feeling normal, you know.
Right.
And then I would say no show. No show, because I'm not going to throw it. Patrick is way too freaking busy, and Greg is retired, so yeah. I'm not going to throw it on him, you know? So I don't expect them to have to do an entire show alone. Plus, I just don't know how that show would go, to be honest.
I don't know.
Like, Patrick going, it's the morning brew, like, bringing in the show. No. It's not I have to force it. I barely am convincing about
it.
Yeah,
for Patrick to throw it to himself for the news, that'd be a little odd. You know what I mean? Yeah. All right, and now Patrick for the news.
For sure.
And then have Greg opposite of me.
Yeah,
scrolling on his phone the whole time.
It would have been a nightmare for you, you know? And then to run down. Yeah, so screw that. No show. And because Jen got it bad the day I did, too. And so we must have caught it from a restaurant here in town. Did we talk about that? Did I talk about that on the podcast?
I think maybe just at the very tail end.
Yeah.
Ate Broken Bow and got flu.
Yeah, place I've been stoked about. Place that I've heard from multiple people, including you, Jay, that it was good. And, and I'm not saying it was atrocious. It was just the service was
bad.
Real bad. Okay. And then, like, the special... You know, the special was none. It was not that at all.
It was not very special.
It wasn't special at all.
Gotcha.
It was more run of the mill, beaten path type of food I've ever eaten.
Understood.
You know, and so.
And that's possibly where you got the flu.
I think so. Like, because the next day, Allie was sick, and then the day after that, me and Jen were sick. So yeah, it is what it is. But it was a bad one.
Yeah, I saw him Monday morning drinking orange juice after the show, and I was like, oh, that's bad. He's gonna die.
Yeah. I'm gonna die.
Like, I don't know if I've ever seen you drink orange juice before.
No, it's only when it's too late.
Yeah.
I'm drinking the orange juice.
It's like better as a preventative, I think. Oh, crap. I got scurvy. Somebody give me some orange juice.
I've been drinking 12 ounces of orange juice every day on the show.
Yeah.
In 2024. So we'll with the idea that we'll see if that helps me any in the sickness realm.
I've been taking an emergency every day because I got sick or something earlier this year.
Nothing yet. No sickness yet. What?
Pulp?
Pulp. Yes, with pulp.
Sorry.
Yes.
With polyps?
Polyps, yes. Yeah, I have those checked. I'll turn 45 this year, too. Okay. So I got the finger in the asshole coming, too.
You doing that every other year or every year?
What's that?
The old...
Or I haven't done it ever yet.
I feel like you're 5 years late, or no?
No, they say 45.
They change it. Okay.
That was fortunate.
Used to be 50, actually.
You'd be 50.
And it was 45. 40.
Yeah.
But no, I think they pay 40, 45 maybe. I don't know. But they really, but I've had it every year, just not the finger test. It's the blood test.
Right.
With Dr. Lofton, you know.
Yeah.
And just not to give him shout out.
But now you got to get your water balloon squeezed.
But I
can
get the balloon squeezed now. That's what they say.
Yeah.
I remember years back they were doing this must have been 10 years ago or something or more. They were doing a free colonoscopy screening at like a drive-by one.
What?
It was legit. It was legit.
Come on
it
down.
Just some creep dude in a white windowless van.
Hang a drive through and hang your ass out the window and let me snake it.
It was like Wadley Medical Center or something. I was like, "Jip, it's free." You know, I had something going on at the hospital and was parked out front. I was like, "I get it done." And I'm standing in line. I notice everybody's like, look, not, you know, keeping themselves looking down, you know, hands clasped together. And
yeah, I'm about to get my whole tech down.
Yeah. And I talked to this guy in front of me that I kind of know. And he's like, "You don't know what's goes on here, do you?" And I'm like, "I don't know. It's just free. I thought I'd get me some preventative medicine." And he's like, "Dude, this is what a colonoscopy is." I was like, "Oh shit. Okay. I'll come back in 15 years.
Yeah. And to the uninitiated colon, you don't want to put a doctor through that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A colonoscopy leading up, you got to take stuff.
Yeah, you got to take stuff.
Yeah, that would have been a very bad surprise for me, too.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Wait, what is that? Yeah. The door's locked, and like, no, you're in here, boy.
And sticking that camera up there looked like the Afghani mountains.
See, and I've always, you know, maintained that that's an exit only, so it's going to be difficult for me.
Yeah.
You know.
I think nowadays they have ones that you can swallow. You swallow the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. And then it, like, and then you
pass it.
I think you pass it and then you like bring it in and they don't, you know, that's a little bit easier, I think.
Really?
I thought I could be totally.
It seems like
it could
be encased in poop or something.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I think about it. it's probably a little more efficient.
If you swallow that
poop in a bag for a few days,
maybe if you drink a couple of ounces of the Go Flow stuff,
the Go Lightly,
and then, you know, 30 minutes later, you drink water with or whatever, the more Go Lightly with the camera, and then, you know, maybe
it's a water slide at that point.
Exactly. Literally what I was picturing in my brain, bro.
Woo!
You can see all of that.
Going down the tunnel.
Yeah. It's a long tunnel.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder if they do that by Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And then this fleshy yawning opening at the end. Yeah.
Catch it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like football, like a water football. Come on, Dad. Yeah. I may have made that up. I don't know. Maybe I got a billion-dollar idea.
I was going to say, doctor is going to hit you up later.
Yeah, yeah.
Every guy in the world would appreciate that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Swallow a tiny camera instead of, you know, the plumber snake.
Yeah.
All right. Winding it up there.
I mean, because in reality, you have to take the medicine. I mean, you're knocked out for the plumber snake.
Are you?
Yeah.
I've seen some where you can watch the...
Maybe.
Watch it.
Yeah.
I remember Norm MacDonald making a joke about it. He's like, yeah, I was watching it, and like at the end of the video, my doctor's name... You know what you are. You're not... If you're not knocked out, you're out of it.
Yeah, they give you something. Yeah.
Because he said he made a really funny joke at the end of the video, like the doctor's name and the nurse's name pop up on the thing, and he's like, oh, it's the ending credits. You know, because you're watching on the TV and nobody laughed. And then he asked them after. He's like, I guess everybody makes that joke. And they're like, Mr. MacDonald, you were like.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're supposed to have somebody drive you.
I had no idea. Yeah, I thought you were totally awake. And then you see like your doctor is like a former wide receiver in college. Like, oh, he's got some big hands, man.
Well, they're feeding that up you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a camera. It's like a little.
It's a snake. Oh,
what's with the glove?
What is that?
No.
That's just for searching cavities.
If you don't prostate. Yeah, prostate camera.
Exam is the
prostate exam is the
come here.
Yeah, I think they stick it in your butthhole, finger down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they touch
get
the
another
prostate.
One in,
maybe get
another.
Yeah, and then they get the whole. Yeah,
this whole thing just makes me so queasy.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I agree.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
I know, and I only got like a few years left before.
That's the prostate. Is the colonoscopy is you got to, for days, you got to drink this stuff that clears out your colon.
I think it's like 12 hours.
Maybe. But it feels like days, I'm sure.
It probably feels like days.
Like and no then, red meat, I guess.
Oh, don't. Yeah, nothing.
Don't eat nothing, yeah.
And then they take this long snake camera and feed it up your colon.
Don't they teach you in school like your intestines are like a mile long or something, or they wrap around the planet?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a roto-rooter. They just got like...
I think it's just the actual colon itself check.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's just the end.
Just the end where the poop forms.
I remember that.
You got the switchbacks.
The human skeleton in high school with the organs and stuff. I didn't like looking at it.
What was it? What was the name of the class in high school?
Mm.
Not biology, but it was about the human body.
My anatomy class. That's what I was here. My anatomy class.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but it wasn't called that. It was like more basic than anatomy, because I think anatomy went a little deeper.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This was like
dicks and vaginas,
pretty much. Probably. Reproductive, very lightly covered the reproductive system.
Because
we're high schoolers,
of course.
We're still snickering, but on the inside now.
Do you guys remember like not knowing what your penis was really? Like, I just remember, thinking. You know what? I probably shouldn't reveal this. Never mind. I just remember I learned a lot in those classes.
Because you were a kid when you thought that, and now recreating that as an adult makes you a pedo.
I would think,
exactly.
I was told by a few people I should have deleted that episode, but I don't care. I don't care.
I felt like that was one that was going to potentially end my career, and I didn't even say anything.
Yeah, it's just mine.
I have had a comment about how Patrick doesn't say much when in certain specific obviously the MMA ones. Well, you know, those conversations between us, he doesn't say a lot. Yeah. But I have had other conversations. You could tell when Patrick's not happy with this conversation.
Yeah, fine. He can spectate.
You notice anything
just like
right now?
Else.
You notice anything right now, buddy?
Mine was I remember thinking that the head would fall off like at some point.
Okay.
Like you know, like your umbilical cord or something like that. Like it would just fall off and you had to use it before then. I think I remember
that's
that. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. Like just right into the toilet.
That's something I told you or something?
No, I just don't freaking remember where I got that from. But it was, you know, just like it would just rot off. I don't know.
Keep playing with your sister's Ken dolls. You're going to look like one.
Yeah, exactly. I was real young, you know. When did you guys get it? I think it was 7th grade, 8th grade that I got the class.
The class. Yeah,
I think in eighth grade. I think now they do it. They do it even earlier, I think.
Well, yeah, they got to teach about trans shit.
I can remember
2 years of that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember in ninth grade specifically that.
Like physical and gym class, they did it?
No, the ninth grade, they did the whole pictures of the actual genital warts.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't do that prior to high school. So
yeah, we did.
Year.
I just remember the first one I saw was a giant penis cut in half, like lengthwise.
Yeah.
You
an
know?
Actual one or just the picture? Just
no, it's a picture.
Okay, I didn't know if it was for science, like a picture of one, or it was like the
like a chainsaw accident or something.
Yeah, yeah. and then the women's part was like this like alien diagram. Like it doesn't look at all like that,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
You know,
it looks like inverted penis and balls. Is what?
Yeah. And the first time you saw a real one, it was like, oh, you know,
like a face hugger from Aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you want me to, do you want to sit that on my face?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, oh, man.
I mean, you know.
Everybody talks about how you would laugh and snicker. Not in ours, man. We were dead silent.
Yeah.
All watching it, you know. Okay, watching literally my eighth. What was her name? I don't remember. Ms. Bauer, I think it was. Ms. Bauer putting a condom on a giant cucumber. With her mouth. No, I'm kidding. It was just, but I remember that did you guys get that?
No.
Like it wasn't, there wasn't contraceptives as well. And then to pull out the dental dam.
No.
A little like Kraft singles, like package slice thing that a slice of cheese comes in. And
no, in
you
the,
don't remember that? No, your dad didn't get that.
Yeah, we didn't get
in the
that.
Bible Belt, there was no contraceptives allowed because they were promoting no sex is safest sex.
That works. What's the best way to avoid a ski accident? Don't go skiing.
Exactly.
Yeah that works big time.
I was definitely in the era.
But
I
want to ski so bad.
Yeah, of course.
Especially at that age.
Your body can think about nothing but skiing. You're constantly got rods in your hand. when you're
you want the fastest skis possible.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Unless you're rocking a snowboard.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
That's a whole other game. Yeah. So, shoot, I don't even know what got us onto that. But yeah, so I had it. There was like a class. And then I think in ninth grade, it was boys and girls together learning during gym class or something. It was like, you know, learning your body.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was like health class in freshman year.
Yeah.
Boys and girls together. Everybody. Mm-hmm. It was like showing literal actual photos.
Oh, see, I never
of genital warts on males
teach
and females.
Yeah, STDs and
yes,
stuff.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
We did a little bit of that, but ours was all about more like here's what you got, and then also unwanted pregnancy, how to avoid it.
Yeah,
which you know, I could maybe count on two fingers how many girls were pregnant in my high school.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I graduated with like 600 kids.
Was it a low teenage pregnancy high school, or did they ship them off?
Mine got shipped off. I remember there was a handful. Off yeah, they were there.
But you knew them,
and then they weren't. And then the rumor was
that they got pregnant.
Yeah.
And they went off to class.
I knew of one. I had dated her in eighth grade. And then by like 10th grade, she was gone, you know?
Yeah.
And, What? Let me do the math on that. And, and then there was another one that I remember like got pregnant. And then they did get shipped off, but everybody knew about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There was a couple that stayed throughout, you know, the whole, that was weird.
It's an odd time.
Yeah, it's a weird time to see,
There's no doubt that like teaching again with contraceptives and unwanted pregnancy class helps better than abstinence.
Like, I would think
100%. Because you're not listening to an abstinence class.
Right.
You know, unless you have strong beliefs that are keeping your moral values, like, unless that is really guiding you, your moral compass is truly guiding you, that you're listening to your, you know, nature.
Yeah, they say, like, no school's teaching abstinence now. They say teen pregnancy rates are lower than ever. Mm. You know, that's a declining
even
thing.
Even schools
supposedly.
Down here, or do they even mess with sex ed?
I don't know what they do here, to be honest. And I remember I took the general one in eighth grade, and then ninth grade, first year of high school health class or whatever, mm-hmm. was the football coach that was teaching, yes. and they split the boys and girls. And we, the first week, it was like first week of school.
Yeah,
we
did that one. Lady too. Coach took the girls.
We I did guess, that one. The too. Softball yeah. coach. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. But
so let me show you on your body.
Yeah, exactly. About. The dude, coach they was were like, so creepy. Those lesbian lady coaches.
The coach was like, "All right, we're gonna go ahead and launch into this and into sex ed first week." You could tell he was not interested.
Oh, sweating.
Oh, dude, so red. 15 minutes into classes, first class of the day, 15 minutes into class, principal gets over the intercom. I may have told the story before. And he's like, "Everybody needs to evacuate the school. We received a bomb threat." And you saw the...
Oh, yes.
I can look back and see the face of relief on the coach's face. Just like, "Oh, thank goodness." And then that was like a Thursday. The next day... About 15 minutes in, he's like, "All right, well, we better get back on this." And yeah,
back to your books, everybody.
Intercom, principal so-and-so, everybody's got to get out. Then Monday, the following Monday, it's like, "All right, for real today, we're going to learn this." Intercom, this time the principal's like, "Yeah, we got another bomb threat. Everybody has to get out of the building. Sorry, that's just law." And
that's crazy.
We never got back to the subject. Those were his 3 days to teach sex ed. And somebody had a bomb threat every day.
Probably because of the sex ed. You know, some people get crazy about it.
I don't know. I don't think it was like no cell phones.
You ain't teaching my kid about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But it was slips back then you had to sign.
A lot of it. We were like, "All right, let's learn about this stuff. Let's do this." And the only person relieved was the coach himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think, like, my eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Bauer, I think, or Miss Bowman, that's what it was, Miss Bowman, Bauman or something. She was like a real holistic, she was like a hippie teacher, so she was super into it. Like, she wasn't embarrassed at all, which made it a lot more embarrassing, I guess, you know? Yeah. Crazy stuff, man.
I had one of those. She was actually the Spanish teacher.
Yeah?
And she was also a former cop.
Oh, dang.
And the toughest kid in the school got into a fight with another dude who was also fairly tough. So this was going to be a good fight.
Battle of the Titans.
She literally jumped a row of desks. I may have told this story on the podcast, actually. She jumped a row of desks, yanked one of them out of the chair that he was in, fighting in, threw him over another row of desks, and then pinned the other one down to the ground.
Dang.
And she was like, she had to have been 125 pounds soaking wet. She was...
Do you have mom jeans?
She was a little G. No, she wore like the soft, like... I call them...
I'll tell you how it feels.
Yeah, no, I call them we call it a Mexico suit or a... it's the...
like a track suit?
Or? No, it's that... it's what you'd wear it on a beach. It's that one... oh crap! What do they call it? It's
almost like a dress, but with pants.
But yeah, it's like a pant. It's like the material. It's what they call the material that they use. Anyway, it's just like a softer, flowy type material. Yeah, versus
imagining ex-cop mom jeans pulled all the way up, like to the belly button, big and a big ass. You know,
and this
like
was in the late '80s, early '90s.
Yeah, so, yeah. Those were the hit. Those were a bit.
No,
those
she was still wearing the beach wear.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a seventh grade teacher I was so attracted to, Mrs. Khan. And she was like Iraqi, and she was just so, so hot. Even my mom to this day was like, "Yeah, I don't know what they were doing hiring her for a bunch of seventh grade boys."
Yeah.
You know, like she was ridiculously attractive.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I think there was also some preliminary health or sex ed going on in that one, because I remember being extremely embarrassed by her.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Because she's in the feelings
arousal.
Of your loins.
Yeah,
a little arousal.
Oh yeah, and then Miss Bauman or Bowman or whatever the hell her name was, Bauer. Fuck, I can't remember. I'm gonna need my friend to text in when he hears this. She was not at all attractive in any sense of the words. So that made it
easier.
She
came in and wrapped it up with the cucumber.
Yeah,
that was Miss Greenwood in my eighth grade year.
She was not attractive. Yeah,
she had to have been 80.
Yeah,
when she started teaching 30 years ago. You know what I mean?
I don't remember. I remember one really in 10th grade. One teacher, she was super cute. But other than that, the rest of them were just like 80 years old.
My junior and senior year, there was a student teacher that was pretty young.
There was all kinds.
Governor visited our high school recently, so I went there. First time I'd been there in a while. The teachers nowadays, oh my gosh, man. They read a lot of New York Post, too, and I see all the time these female teachers getting with their students. I'm like, no wonder.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you are coming into your mid-30s, just recently reached your mid-30s, right?
Yeah.
Too late.
mid to late. Yeah. So those teachers are now that are coming into the high schools and middle schools and elementary schools are 23, 25, 28. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're, you know, I can see how they're a lot younger.
My math
the
teacher.
The skirts, though, and the leggings.
Yeah.
Like, that's true, too. You can't be in high school. Leggings. You can't be dressing like that around a high school
You've
boy.
Seen those TikToks.
With those deep cuts in the ass.
Yes.
What in the world?
You've seen those TikToks of those teachers that are super fine.
Oh, yeah.
Super, you know, curvy.
Yeah.
And they wear things that show the curves.
Yeah.
It's like, how could I learn?
Exactly. It's very
impossible.
Distracting. Yeah. Very distracting.
And I had
then they get fired when their OnlyFans gets found out.
True. That's the one I was thinking of, actually.
In 10th and 11th grade, which is probably why I suck at math now, we had Miss Hutchinson. She was probably in her 40s, but she was like a ditzy, hippie space cadet. That's what, like, she was just, but she was so, so, so fine. Like, I remember all the guys in class were like, yes, Mrs. Hutchinson, you know, I need help. Well, tutor me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she was very, very hot, but also just so, you know, like, of course, when you're a teenager in high school, you probably feel like you're smarter than everybody, but she was very, very dumb.
Can I reveal this? Neither of these are dumb, but there are blondes. Of course, a lot of dumb blonde jokes. Yeah. But the teachers that were the Mr. McAdoos, they were brothers. I think I've mentioned them on this podcast
Mr.
before.
Mr. McAdoo?
One of them coached me in basketball. One of them coached me in baseball.
Yeah?
They're both still in education. I don't know if anybody from my school, from, you know, Webster Middle School or Southeast High School, listen.
Yeah.
But both of them married very fine teachers.
Fine
teachers. And they
from
were
the high school
from the high
at?
School we were
yeah,
in.
Okay.
They were both in the school.
Yeah, yeah.
They both married two of the very fine teachers that are in the school. Yeah. So
were they sisters too? Or?
No, they weren't related. But I am friends with all four. I want to say all four of them on social media now.
Yeah.
And that's great. But, you know, that's how it started. I was a student, two fine teachers, couple of they were cool, you know, brothers, young teacher brothers, you know, and they had all the charisma, probably still do.
Yeah.
They're all in, you know, the administration now in education. But anyway,
we had like an assistant. He was an assistant coach. I think he was the soccer coach and assistant coach on the football team. And then like gym teacher Brandy, he was like maybe 23, 24. His name was Bo, and he was just cut and beautiful. And I know he was like, dude, he was slanging all up and down the hallways, not with the children, with the hot teachers.
Gotcha,
you know, at one point we did have a very small, cute, like volleyball coach teacher, you know, that I'm pretty sure they were into each other.
That's
and, hilarious. It was just teachers. We had, I know of one that did some really creepy shit, in eighth grade, Mr. Buchanan. He looked like a Doctor Who character or not. What am I talking about? Dr. Seuss.
Oh,
he looked
hilarious.
Like a Who. That's what I meant to say.
He looked like a Who.
Like a Who, yeah, from Whoville.
Yeah, yeah.
And, or the Lorax or something. And he was always creepy. He would always, like, make girls come to his desk and stuff. Like, when they were, I don't know, it's not anything I really saw. Like, he would just lean in too hard on the girls and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Inviting all the eighth graders to his house for a party.
Yeah. I guess he got, the year or two after we left, he got fired for snapping a girl's thong. But, like, I want to say he's creepy, and that's obviously a fireable offense and all that. But he also seemed like such an old school guy where he thought he could do that. He'd be like not in a creepy way, more like, hey, don't let your thong hang out. Snap.
Right.
But it was probably creepy.
More of a 2003 pre-hashtag Me Too.
Right.
He would have got away with it in the 80s for sure.
Yeah.
Where
he'd be like, you shouldn't wear these. Psh, like that.
Pull your pants up, boy.
Yeah, something like that. And it was a boy. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But, and then we had...
Well, she is now.
Man, what are some of the other teachers? Mr. Howdle was my favorite teacher. He was the man to me back in the day. Always wore a suit to class and was the world issues and history and politics teacher and stuff. So really engaged with him, liked him a lot. But I remember watching him run out of the school one time to the bus stop where kids were smoking weed and drag two of them, one in each hand, drag them back into the school. I remember that. That was, he'd get fired. He probably ain't even working nowadays.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a math teacher named Mr. Hass.
Mr. Hass.
Yeah, of course, as a middle school math kid, you never called him Mr. Hass.
Yeah. Mr. Hass?
Yeah, exactly. But he would kick you out of his class if he caught you saying that, obviously. He was used to that. But he was one of those that would, like, argue with students, like verbally, like get into an argument. David Hathaway was super, super math smart and corrected him one time.
Ooh.
And on a math thing they'd done, he had done in chalk on the board, and they got into a verbal argument about this math problem.
Your friend, was he Goodwill Hunting or something? He went up there and just...
Was very, always has been very smart in that type of stuff. I always thought it was cool. Actually, I tried to cheat off of him in sophomore year.
They were like, we know nowhere near him.
So I friended him again on Facebook, as an adult, obviously, and he's not a teacher anymore. He does something else. He got out a few years after that, after I had him in Webster.
I remember, they got into it though.
The way he would argue with us, mm-hmm. it didn't feel like a teacher arguing with a student. It felt like just somebody arguing, arguing.
Right.
So that when he told me he wasn't a teacher anymore, it didn't surprise me much. That he's doing something else.
I remember, so Mrs. Kahn, I told you she was very hot and just, I mean, ridiculously good looking and you know, with the brown skin, that she had like freckles under her eyes and these long eyelashes, long black hair, just super cute. But she was also so, so nice. I remember this dude named Pedro. He was a Portuguese kid, and he was definitely really tubby and crazy. Like, you didn't really mess with Pedro. You didn't want to mess with Pedro. Not because he'd, like, beat you up, because he'd, like, slice you up. Like, he'd cut you.
Gotcha.
And Jordy Geller, every single day, Pedro would make Lunchable pizzas, and he would always put them on his desk, right? And I guess one day he had the little Lunchable pizzas on his desk, and Jordy Geller came by and swiped them off onto the ground, splat. And Pedro went nuts, and Pedro had a really long fingernails, and he just sliced them from head to toe like a cat scratches all over Jordy Geller, just fucked him up. And Yeah, and so they both got in trouble, but because Pedro had no lunch now, Mrs. Kahn took him to the grocery store nearby and like bought him like a good lunch and brought him back. But of course he was like, what was Miss Kahn's car like, Pedro? Like, what is it? Did you bang her on the like, we were all so jealous, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was an actual question that you may have hoped to have the answer of yes.
Oh, yeah. Please tell me.
Yeah.
You know, lie to me.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially in middle school age.
Yeah.
He lied about a lot of that.
Yeah. That was Mr. Buchanan. Yeah, that's those are about the most memorable teachers for me, I think. Anybody for you, Patrick? Anybody like noteworthy? Couldn't even remember their names. Probably.
I cannot remember a single teacher's name.
I moved right after high school.
Yeah.
Down here, you know, so severed that connect. I wasn't running into them at the grocery stores or going by or anything like that. You know, it was like I graduated, I moved, and. And I also like my high school, I tried to be there as little as possible.
Yeah,
so many of the classes they were held like an auditorium style, like what you see in a college campus, you know, where there might be 100 kids in there, get your attendance taken,
and taking roll call or you slip out.
Yeah, you slip out. So I hate it. I can't remember a single teacher's name from K through 12.
Just the memorable ones for me. I can remember
some faces.
Yeah.
It's angry faces. A lot of times angry faces.
I saw Mr. Howdle like 3 years after high school when I was selling suits at JCPenney, and he came in. He needed a suit for... He was down there, and this was in the States at that point, so he had traveled down, five hours from Canada. Dang. And I remember seeing him, and he remembered my name and everything, and he was like, That's cool. Talked for like 30 minutes, you know, that was pretty cool.
So you're going to buy a suit or?
Yeah. So I'm kind of working here, teacher, you know. He was great, though. He did debate, right? So we were in debate, and it wasn't like a class dedicated to it. It was just in politics. We got it was a month of focusing on debate or whatever. And our big project at the end was to have a debate as different political parties. And, you know, in Canada, they got like 5 parties. There's only 2 that matter, but, you know. So everybody got assigned theirs, right? And I really wanted, and then there would be a head at each, you know, so whoever the guy running was, basically. And I just begged for conservative, you know, because I wasn't. I just wanted to make everybody laugh. Nobody was laughing, but Mr. Howdle was dying, because I was like, I was bringing up American conservatism. I was like, Global warming was one of the topics. I was as Chinese conspiracy, like, you know, and just going off on that and the leech of the welfare people and all that stuff. I was just making them die, you know, I was laughing. I just didn't want to be the liberals.
Yeah, because with the left in Canada, or the, the right in Canada, it would still be like Democrats here, be like, damn, them folks are crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy progressives.
Yeah. So
I had a memorable, now that I think about it, last year I called my high school to see, because I took 4 years of wood shop with this one, or 3.5 years of wood shop. And it was like the thing that kept me going to high school was to take this wood shop class. Made some badass stuff through it, realized that I was had a lot of interest in it, but I can't remember the guy. And when I moved to the States for my senior year, he was really disappointed. He was like, I don't know why you would do something like that. But I've been trying to look him up, like Obit or something. He was old then. I figured by now he's dead. And been trying to look it up. I called my high school and they're like, we have no record of this guy's been our woodshop teacher forever. I'm like, man, I know I didn't dream this guy up. Yeah. Like,
sounds like you did.
Maybe. Apparently so.
And it wasn't the guy, their current guy?
No. It was, yeah.
Huh.
Because I found the picture online of him, because they had staff and pictures and stuff. And I was like, that is not that guy.
Yeah. I had an electronics teacher, actually.
I was hoping to just read his obit, if anything, just so I could remember his name, so I could pull one name out of my high school.
You know? Yeah. Nothing, huh?
Yeah.
No. I did have an electronics class teacher, Mr. Workington. He was a badass. He was really good. Really good to go to class for. Most people took it to slough off, and he would allow you to, but, you know. I ended up getting interested somewhat in it, and he would always, he was a big fan of, not Phantom of the Opera, Phantom of the Paradise, which is like some crude Canadian remake, offshoot, weird thing that it's like a cult classic. People are really into it, and so was he, and he would always make you watch that at the end of the year and stuff, and he had like rebuilt the Batmobile. He was a cool guy, but, most of the time, I just remember being high.
It was legit.
Yeah, and he would take it all to all the car shows, Batmobile with like a jet engine out the back. Nice. And he was super smart, pretty cool. And, you know, what he would swear, you know, he'd just treat us like adults. It was one of the only teachers that would treat us like adults. Yeah. And, you know, he'd be like, if you're high in class, just as long as you're not disruptive or whatever. But we had this one dude, Muhammad, that was his name. He was a black guy from somewhere over there. Like, could barely understand him. He was such a crazy character.
His parents were real creative.
Yeah. We took him out, so we were like, Momo, we called him Momo, let's go get, you know, we'll go get high. And he had never done it before. And so we were trying to teach him how to use the bong. And, you know, he like lights it. One of us lights it for him and he's sucking it. It's like, as soon as the smoke touched the back of his throat, he just coughed into the bong and all the water went through the stem all over his pants. It was such a dirty bong too. Like all the,
back to class.
Yeah. He like immediately rubbed it and you just saw like resin just get rubbed into his jeans. Yeah. And then he went back to class and got kicked out immediately. By Mr. Workington. Like, you know you were high if you got kicked out by Mr. Workington. Like,
because normally he's so bad.
He reeked like a bong water.
Bong,
I mean,
water,
just
yeah,
3 month
bong
old bong water of daily use.
Yeah.
You know?
Gosh,
nobody cared to
clean that.
Yeah.
Going back to my woodshop teacher, that was one thing. He'd kick you out if he knew you were drunk or high in class, for sure. That was his big thing. He's like, man, you come in drunk or high, you're going to cut yourself on one of my machines, and the blood's going to rust it. All right?
Yeah.
And if you're not lucky, and you'll find yourself in the book Big Wood Shop in the Sky.
That's funny. Yeah, man. High school, other time. Can you imagine peaking in high school? Could you imagine that? We talked a little bit about the show, and I'm afraid a lot of people around here did do that. Like, you hear that song. There's some country song, like, where the dude is
probably
40.
Playing right now.
Yeah. The dude is 45, and he's like, I still remember that catch I made.
Peaking. I got you. Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine, you know? I feel like I haven't peaked yet. I feel like I'm
yet
to peak.
No, I think...
I don't think any of us... I think all of us have... If we... At least things to look forward to. I mean, look at you. You just bought a radio station. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm loving
successful.
It.
Yeah, kind of like to think the book's not written yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in the prologue still. And then there's some people that have reserved themselves like, ah, fuck it. You know, I'm just shitting in a spackle bucket in the back of a truck every day, my work van. And I peaked in high school, you know, banged the hottest chick, caught all the catches that season.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Everybody loved
that
me.
That was it for you. Yeah.
And everybody still loves me today to an extent because of all the things I
did. Yeah. Expecting. But you still kind of like at social events, you wear your Letterman jacket still.
Mm. Oh.
I've got my Letterman jacket. It's hanging in plastic in the back of the closet.
The back of the closet. You know,
I would never. Maybe if somebody was like taking photos for like a reunion, 30-year reunion coming maybe up or something, you know?
Or maybe you wear it like without anything else to, you know, impress your wife or something. Be like, hey, you know, pull it out.
She wears the prom dress.
Cheerleader dress. Yeah, yeah. Something
like
that.
You can hold on to that for a while, but there's a point where like the people who remember start dying from heart disease and cancer and stuff. And then,
I remember. And then if you move, you're done.
Yeah.
If you move to another place, nobody knows who the hell you are and doesn't care about your, you know, Garden City Gophers.
Yeah, exactly.
varsity jacket.
Everybody's.
We almost made it to the championship that year.
Yeah, dude.
Well, everybody's famous in a small town unless you move to a different small town.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Then you're less than nothing at that point.
Well, true. You're an outsider. You come up with a whole new persona, a whole new
resume. True. That's true. Yeah. And if you're a go-getter, hey, mm-hmm. I think the three of us, if we were stripped of everything we own today and kicked out in another city, we'd go make what we do today probably happen in a different way. You know what I mean? In different capacity. I think so.
Small towns desperate made it for work some talent.
Exactly. None of us are from the small towns we're living
in. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So
we could do it again. We are mid-level big town guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're superstars in the small town.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But that whole peaking in high school thing, you're just like, man, I just wonder about what some of the kids that I went to school with. I mean, there was literally one kid. His name, and I think he became a bodybuilder or something, or some jacked somebody who's somebody now.
Right.
But in high school, his nickname was Useless Inbred Asswipe.
Oh, shit. Ouch. Damn.
And he got stuffed into the locker every single day. What the hell is that guy doing? You know? And I swear there was another guy named Brandon By The Way. That was his last name, By The Way, all one word. Spelled just like that. Fucking weird.
Okay.
So many weird Canadian names, dude. It's insane.
By the way.
Okay. Yeah. And I know he was like a nothing. And then I saw pictures of him recently. The dude is like a legit bodybuilding like champion.
And his nickname is now BT Dubs.
Yeah, BT Dubs, bro. Rolling through. Watch out now.
Watch out, BT Dubs.
Yeah. Laying pipe all over the place. Yeah, and he was a no one,
right.
You know, and like I don't think he was a shoved in locker kid or even merited a nickname. Just
by the way, it was good enough.
By the way, yeah, it was by the way, just in and out, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's
and
then by the way.
Yeah, I know there was a dude named Yuri, or no, Vladimir Demozarov. And he was bullied pretty good.
UFC now?
Yeah, exactly.
He did. He's not. I don't think he went to the UFC, but he became an MMA fighter afterwards.
That name is perfect for him.
Yeah, yeah. We used to sing it in the Russian. In the Russian anthem, Vladimir Demozarov, or whatever, like whatever it is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
he probably loved it though.
He wasn't bullied that bad, I don't think. Just the name was made fun of a little bit.
With the Russian though.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You don't know for sure.
Definitely. But he was like kind of squirrely with glasses, and I saw a picture of him on his Facebook looking all jacked and then some MMA fighter.
Nice.
You know? That's how the shit goes sometimes.
Yeah.
You think about the MMA fighter for sure, you're like, oh, this dude's gonna be like he was like the jock in school. It's like most of the time they're not attractive dudes. They are dudes who got bullied and then fought back against the world.
That's a great point. I think it's probably a couple different ways. Either they complete opposite because they peaked in high school and now they're nobodies.
Yeah.
Or they were nobodies in high school, but they kept working on themselves and now they're awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they were always destined to be something crazy big.
Yeah.
So you knew in high, or you destined to be something specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we always knew dude was like was playing with the stars. You know, he had a satellite, you know, he built for every one of the science things. So we knew he was going to NASA
whatever. He was going to be an astrophysicist.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that. You know, she always loved to blah, blah, blah. So we knew she was going to do that. You know,
I had a friend, my best friend at one point. We were all like, this dude's going to be making lab coat money. Like he loved drugs. He loved finding out what a drug will do to you. He had an insane willpower. He probably tried every drug under the sun once. He did meth once.
Right.
He did cocaine like once or twice. He did like all the addicting drugs. He just tried it, jotted down in his logbook the next day and moved on. We all thought like this was his preliminary, you know, drug process or something. This dude's going to be like testing and making new drugs in the pharmaceutical industry or something, super smart.
Right.
But it all, I think it all just kind of ruined his brain.
Oh no.
And then one day he stopped wearing shoes and joined like some monastery and now has tinfoil on his windows and doesn't, you know, walk in. The sun hurts him and stuff. Or I think he's like cell phone waves, hurt his brain or gotcha. Something. So he's like in his tinfoil room and that's it. And like, that's what happened to you now, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So with the drugs, you know, that dude literally brought every single, I realized it the other day. We've had our mom down and she was staying with us. And I think we got on the topic like, Mom, did you ever do anything? And Mom's like, no, I drank, you know, as a kid, you know, running around drinking, but yeah. It wasn't, you know, nothing like you guys did. And she was always like, she just asked me, she's like, who brought these? And I was like, dude, that was the and then I would say guy's name. She was like, him? Like, she always thought it was probably one of the more seedy characters. No, it was him, the dude with the living in the suburbia with the rich parents.
That always said, yes, ma'am, when you talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, yeah, did this guy first get you to smoke weed? I was like, no, it was him. And she was like, what? You know? And I was like, it wasn't
parents
just
parents have no idea. They never have any idea who the bad influence
for sure.
is. They come in with all these preconceived notions. And,
Her one piece of advice for teenage parent, like parenthood or like, you know, when Miles is a teen, she just said, vet his friends if you can. You know, like, because she was like, you'll pour every ounce of your parental skills and then this jerk off will come by and just ruin it.
That
all
sounds like great advice.
A buddy of mine who had to deal with his kid, I mean, is the way he put it, he's like, 15 years I was teaching this kid how to be a good person, 15 minutes with this idiot,
if you know, and people are going to take this the wrong way and this may be controversial or whatever, but I believe this, if you know their parents are garbage, that doesn't make them garbage, but their sets of rules they live by are probably different than the rules that you hold your child accountable to. So if your child goes and hangs at that house and sees that, oh, well, they can do it this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get to eat Doritos for dinner.
That's going to instantly plant that seed, and you may have a tough time getting it out. So just never going over the house will be the best.
You're so stupid as a kid. Think about all the things when we were kids that we were like, dude, when I'm on my own, I'm going to do that. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, even down to like, I'm going to eat cookies and chips for dinner because my fucking parents wouldn't let me. And then by the time you're 19 and living on your own or 20 or whatever it is, you're like, don't work. Like, you don't even want to do that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you grow out of that shit. And it's like, I don't know. Like, well,
parents won't let me smoke. I'll smoke 6 packs a day.
Yeah. And then you don't.
Dip a whole
right?
can.
Like, yeah, you can't afford it.
Exactly.
And then it may sound naive, but I think being as real with your teenager as possible is probably the best thing. Like, listen, I'm not letting you hang out with them because you think it's a good idea now. You think you can ride that out, but you are going to know way too late that was a bad idea, so I'm telling you for you.
Yeah, be real with your kids, though, and you give them a cell phone, and they're just inundated in a world that's not real, that they think is, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
we were talking about, like, what am I going to do if I catch Miles smoking weed or something on a bus stop, like, driving by or something like that, you know? And I just keep telling myself that I'll talk to him and be like, you are not, you may think you're ready for this, but you are not ready for this.
With my children, I told them, I said, look, I know I smoked weed before.
You should have.
I should have.
Yeah.
After I turned 18, I was even a late smoker than most of my friends.
Yeah.
So it was after I turned 18. But I smoked weed before I should have because I think you should not smoke weed before you're 25 because that's when your brain stops developing.
Yeah.
And then it's not going to affect you the same.
Yeah. Certainly not 14, which is 15 or whenever the hell I started, you know? And you catch them doing it. It's like, listen. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Yeah. It depends on your kid. If your kid actually maybe listens to his parents, some rat ass kid or some kid who's, you know, just angst exploding out of their veins and whatnot.
We've talked about Alexander getting caught with vapes.
Yeah.
At the school.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, we had to go through a little program thing, listen to, you know, somebody tell us how bad vapes were and, you know, all of that.
And so, was it, how receptive was it?
I think they probably still vape when they want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Weed or nicotine. I think it's readily available in our state.
Yeah.
And I think if they go into, they're going to.
Is it harder now? You know, because like now at some point, weed's getting sold across the counter. Like at some point, you know, maybe when the time Miles is 16, there'll be
federally
weed packs
legal,
at Easy Mart.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, is it worse now or better?
Weed.
You know, like
itself, yeah. We know more that, about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
we know
more,
about it, but it's stronger too.
Yeah,
you know, you can get stronger.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
it ain't your grandpa's weed.
No? Yeah, yeah,
your grampy's weed.
And then, what about like, you know, is it hard? Is it less like desirable now that it wouldn't be like a legal thing? Like, oh yeah, my dad has.
It's
weed
not a
packs,
rebellious
so
kind of thing
about
anymore.
That. Yeah, it's not even a rebellious thing anymore. Does that make it easier to get? Maybe at least you know that they're not getting some shit off. You know, the Bosnian dude who's pinching and he drips shit on his weed or whatever. You know, like whatever it was. And
cuts his marijuana with fentanyl.
I do hate that. People are like, how do you know? It's like there's no drug dealer in the world who wants to lose money.
No,
you know, they'll sell you
up their fentanyl. They'll sell you some fentanyl.
Don't
mistake your fentanyl for cocaine. And snort too much.
Yeah, we all watch Pulp Fiction. Yep. She thought it was skag.
Exactly, but it was heroin.
She which thought was it was coke, much, but it was skag.
Yeah, which, I mean, today's fentanyl is, yesteryear's heroin for sure. So
it's got to be more powerful, right?
Yes.
Is that what Michael Jackson died from?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So did
is
Prince.
Is it right?
And,
he did?
There were Whitney Houston. Died in a tub of, but still
it's like
she
something
was
we
on
only heard a few years. Like, it seems like it's only
but
been.
But doctors have been giving it for a while.
Yeah,
I've found out
like
about
it. When you're dying, you know, generally, right? And
I'm not sure if I've told this story on here. I'll just tell the slight bit of it, though. But I dated a girl when I worked at JCPenney. She was a hairdresser there, and she was a little strung out, I could tell. But she was, like, older than me, and she was, like, weed smoking, like, cool, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
She drove kind of a cool car, and she dressed funky or whatever. So had, like, a pink stripe in her hair. So it was like, oh, yeah, she's cool. I'm, like, 19, right? Mm-hmm. So this older chick who smokes, you know?
Yeah.
And like I go to her house and we smoke or whatever and blah blah blah, and then like we start hanging out more and more, and then I go to her house and she's like, well, I just want to let you know that I do this, and it was fentanyl, and I'm like, and
it was this a powder substance, white powder?
No,
what was it?
Patches.
Oh yeah, I remember the fentanyl
patches that are meant to go on your
patches.
Arm or
yep.
your back.
Yep.
She would put them on her tongue. Yeah, dude. Thanks.
She would. Would she cut them up?
No, okay. Just they were like, you remember those Tide strips? That's what it looked like. Those like Tide strips and that little thing, you just put your finger on it and
pull
one
it
out. That's how they were, in a little dispenser.
But she stuck it to your skin?
You're supposed to. She put it right on her tongue, and 5 minutes later would be passed out cold.
I bet.
I stole so much from her.
Holy crap.
I stole like a half ounce in money out of her purse. And so I was a piece of shit back then. But at the same time, I was like, hey, man,
you're going to
invite a strange guy up here and pass out around him.
But y'all
trusted
hung out
me.
More. She trusted you at
true.
That point.
It's true.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You never saw her again.
Never saw her again, no. She got fired, and then it was like,
so wait a minute. You still had to go to work with her, though.
No, yeah.
I think I
stole it after. And by the way, I don't know. I want to say I stole money out of her purse, but I might not have. I don't really remember that. What I do remember is she barely smoked green. So it was because that's probably when you're doing fentanyl on the mouth.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah,
you don't have to. So I remember one night
she
was like
passing out in 5 minutes.
I guess so. Like, man. You know. I never touched an opioid in my life, you know. I've never done it, and so I don't know. But that didn't look very enjoyable to me. I was broke as shit. I'm working at JCPenney, so I don't know how much money I mean. And she seemed to have a lot of money, right? So she was like, I want to get some. You know, call your guy. I want some. You know, and she didn't even smoke really. You know, so she got a half ounce.
Nice. Which you never really get a half of.
Yeah.
You know,
like you don't get that, you know, and she didn't even smoke it. And I remember she passed out and I just took that. I just took it with me.
Nah, I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Much.
And she never even brought it up again. Like we hung out after that point and
she forgot about
it. Yeah, just completely forgot that she even paid and bought that, you know? I had it for what, a week?
Yeah, you
know? I mean, you know, you I was like, I'm the king.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but I was a peasant again very quickly. I don't think I stole money out of her purse. I think maybe change jar I took out of or something that's like funny. That. But I, you know, yeah, whatever.
Hey,
was,
we all done. We've all done.
Yeah, I was. I wouldn't. Sure. Let me just say, I wouldn't put it past myself if I did,
especially when drugs are involved.
Yeah. And she, yeah, it was just, you know, it was a different time for me. Exactly. It was a dark time. But yeah, fentanyl right under the tongue, a patch of it.
Yikes.
Dang, crazy, man. You were meant to put it on like the small of your back, cut it in half and put it on the small of your back.
Yeah, when you have like stage four cancer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just to keep the pain down a little bit. Because otherwise, like, fentanyl is like if you got in a traffic accident and your family, they tell your family, like, he's got 3 hours to live and we could make it. We could make it comfortable these next 3 hours by giving him some fentanyl.
Yeah. Like, she was in a car accident, I think, fucked up her back.
And hey, you talked
about
it.
So it went from opioids probably to that. I had a tippy top. But this was 2012. I don't even know if fentanyl was in people's minds or whatever. It was like, it's easy. You know, it's good. I mean, I don't know.
I was just going to say, you mentioned not having ever taken a opioid. I think, well, I've taken like, you know, Lortabs and
what's that?
It's a painkiller.
Okay,
which is opioid based,
like a prescribed.
You
know,
it's a prescribed pain. Teeth is one of the most that they prescribe that for, other pains and situations like that. But so I would say if you popped a couple of the stronger versions of an opioid like that, you know, Percocet, things of that nature. It would be similar to the high of cocaine, but cocaine is like a real high peak, whereas you're just going to kind of, so you'll never get the high of cocaine.
But maybe a plateau for
You're going to plateau for a lot longer. Yeah.
Got you. And
it gives you that feel good.
The hardest thing I ever took in my life was those T3s. Is that an
Tylenol?
Is that an opioid?
Technically, a prescription, right?
Yeah. That has the what codeine. I was talking about. Codeine.
That's Tylenol with codeine. That's what it was, and that was for my broken collarbone.
Yeah. So
I think I took one or two of them, and
that's the thing about opioids. If you're actually in major pain, all it does is take the pain away.
Right.
Yeah. It does the job, and that's why they were so popular for pain medication. But they were passing them out like candy. Yeah. And that's why I got them, plenty of them.
Yeah. Which I'm sure it helped, but it was like,
oh, the kickbacks you'd get as a doctor.
Oh,
stuff.
Man, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But then, you know,
but then so many people were like, I got to have more, and they kept giving them more. And then they're like, oh, crap, I'm giving them 120 a month, and they're only supposed to be taking, you know, so many.
And then
a day.
You just cut them off, and then they start going to Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hitting up every or pharmacy
like,
they can.
Oh, man, my car got broke into.
Isn't it like,
my 120 got stolen. Can I get another 120?
Yeah.
You know,
every person in America knows or is related to, or was the victim of that shit.
Absolutely.
And it was like, and it would be like your friend or your, or maybe your cousin or somebody that never really was into this type of stuff. And then maybe he was in an accident, messed up his leg, and then got that stuff. And 4 years later, this spiral completely ruined their life.
Maybe you worked in a doctor's office and you started writing your own prescriptions.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know what I mean? That happened.
Yeah, that's just classic story. Is a buddy of mine, his brother, he got in a car accident or busted up his back. Wasn't even his fault. He was stopped at a stop sign at construction, you know, so they stopped along the highway. Somebody just flew, didn't realize there was construction ahead, rear-ended his truck, messed his back up bad. He got on the, like, Percocets or something, and then it just spiraled to the point where...
And he was, like, a clean dude before?
Oh,
like,
business, owned his own business. Mm. He lost all that. I mean, much lost everything. His wife ended up starting to take him because I guess she had a little run-in with him in the past as well. And that just... I mean, their whole relationship got tore apart. She lost her kids from a previous marriage. And, I mean, to this day, he is still just barely recovering from it. I mean, he lost a good 10 years of his life because of that addiction.
You get messed up in the back or the leg too, and you start taking that crap. 4 years later, the pain isn't really still there.
Yeah, but you're so sensitive to it.
Yeah. And then, like, that shit is so addicting. The moment that you're not on it, you're like, my leg is killing me. Yeah. Is that where your mind manifests?
Probably.
It's, you know, it's addiction and physical withdrawals is in the leg pain or whatever.
One of the things when he finally got off of it, that was the big part, is like, you got to reaccustomize to pain. You've been living all this time with no pain, and you've got to get used to it again. Mm. And you got to get your ass up, because because that's another thing. That stuff just puts you in your seat and you don't get up.
A doctor told me that that's where fibromyalgia came from.
Yeah, exactly.
People were addicted to painkillers and they couldn't get a diagnosis of actual pain anywhere, so the doctors couldn't find pain or reason for true pain.
Yeah.
So they called it fibromyalgia.
Oh, my fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I bet your knees are in pain. Big as a house. My fibromyalgia. I'm 400 pounds because of my... Fibromyalgia. I don't know why it's just a fat. I was just, my 600-pound fat wife show is always my fibromyalgia. Or they would always be like my thyroid.
Yeah, it's my thyroid.
It's my thyroid.
That's the reason.
That's making you eat pork cracklings day in and out.
And a gallon of ice cream at a time.
Yeah, just crying and eating. I'm so sad about all the burgers I eat.
Yeah. What is it? I eat because I'm, you know, depressed, and I'm depressed because I eat.
Yeah, that's a vicious cycle right there, man. Dude.
That's a bad one.
Weird literally, one. Oh, man. You ever watch that show? My 600-pound fat-ass wife?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And
it is always 600-pound wife, isn't it?
Oh, it's never a dude.
Never a dude. I know they're around. I've seen them.
They just don't complain like the ladies do. They're just like, yeah, I'm fat as shit. What?
Hey, when it's a couple, it's my 600-pound life.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's what the show is. I just call it always the wife, so it's always my 600-pound wife.
800-pound woman, and then the husband is like 80 pounds dripping wet, you know? And of course, I mean, he's not getting any of the food.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a chance. He doesn't stand a chance in hell.
Some of them are so fat, they're obviously bedbound, right? What would they do if you just, instead of dropping off a bucket full of chicken, just walk in with a bowl of salad and set it down and be like, there you go, and just close the door behind you. Like just yell. They can't get out of the bed.
In 12 hours, they feel like they were dying.
Yeah.
They think it's poison.
You know what? Sometimes I look at those bedridden 700-pound people. I'm like, what would they be like a zombie? Like in a zombie apocalypse, like 3 years into it.
There's a boss zombie usually. Absolutely. It's that person. Yeah.
But it's like, I imagine the legs don't even work. It's just the upper torso. So like 3 years into the apocalypse, like you kick in a door to a house and trying to scavenge it. And then you open up this door and it's just this
zombie.
Like stuck to a bed, 700 pounds. You just put it out of its misery and keep going. Yeah. Just close the door behind you.
Yeah, you don't even need anything out of that room. Yeah.
I don't know why I've always thought of that when I watched that show.
Already.
Yeah. And then it's just hoping one survivor gets close enough for it to grab it and just. Yeah, there's so many good ones though. There's one where it's a relatively, she's like 22, 600 and some odd pounds, and her boyfriend is, I felt bad for him. I pitied him. It's the one you know of that I'm talking about. Yeah, that boyfriend
with the real hairy back of his neck.
Yeah, back of his neck is all hairy, and he always wore his shirts inside out. With the tag sticking out.
Yeah, I don't get
very
that.
Very weird. I think it was because he was wearing band shirts or whatever. Yeah, and they didn't
want to. Dude, you can't.
Yeah,
you have any plain shirts? No, we only have Slipknot. But Slipknot and ICP shirts.
Yeah, that's what it was. And like, dude, this chick was so mean. So mean at one point. So they got to like put her in a, you know, a double wide trailer on the back of a, you know, flatbed, get her across the country. They got to stay at a hotel at one point. She goes in there. The bed is on a frame with wheels, which most of humanity doesn't have a trouble navigating.
Yeah, exactly.
But she
on a hardwood floor.
On a hardwood floor. Yeah, she takes one seat on the whole king size bed, just shoots out from under her, and she starts falling. Oh my God! She's like, "You bunch of bastards, help me!"
Yeah,
just awful.
And they're running out of money because I mean, none of them like work or anything.
Yeah, they're just living in a hotel,
welfare, I guess, and it's just fat money.
Crazy.
And she asks her husband, she's like, have you got a job yet? And he's like, well, I've been applying at all the gas stations. And
they don't even take him.
Yeah. Easy Mart won't take him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude, oh, it's that bad.
It's just like, dude, that's what you're limiting yourself to. Or maybe you just know, like, I'm gas station material.
Yeah,
I'm like 32 hours a week at most. And
pumping gas.
Yeah.
And then.
So dumb, he would never steal a lottery ticket or from there.
Yeah. So many good ones. And then but the classic thing is the opening of the episode is always the same. They went down to Tractor Supply, the production team, and brought him like a hog bath bin, and just installed it outside in a trough. You know, the sticker's still on it, the thing's brand new, and they're like, all right, we're gonna have to spray you down in the back, like, for the intro of the episode, because, you know, they're like, oh, we'll give you $600 for this episode, you know, but you're going to have to be at the whim of our production team. We're going to have to make it.
Here's the script. I wash myself with a rag on a stick
every day, you know, and like they literally, she's like just standing in a brand new hog bath as the production team just sprays her down with soap and water. It's like a car wash, you know, gosh. It's awful. It really is amazing. It's a great show.
Humiliation at its best.
Oh yeah, purposeful.
Hollywood Strikes Again.
Yeah,
Cat Williams told us about it.
That's right. That's right. Oh boys. Well,
speaking of Cat Williams, it told us about it. Y'all gonna let the P. Diddy thing go by?
Oh yeah. So I don't know nothing about it. So is he P. Diddler or is it apparently. I thought it was in allegedly. Connection. Like he had a nightclub shot up once. That's like known. I don't know how he probably had a patsy or something take the blame for it, but I thought it was known that he did that. And then he also was heavily implicated in the Tupac murder.
Nah, they're now uncovering so videos Diddler. He's done of like kids that he's adopted. Quote unquote.
I can't
young
find
girls.
Anything on this.
Usher.
I watched one. I watched one of
years
them,
back.
On
right.
Instagram
said that there was a lot of weird stuff going on when he went to that like rap camp or whatever that Sean Combs.
I didn't
put
see
on.
That
Diddy's
one.
Diddy's rap camp.
Yeah. But anyway,
So did Cat Williams predict this?
Yeah. Oh, he just said P. Diddy was definitely going to fall in 2024.
When did he say that?
In that
Shannon
stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
Shannon.
All right.
Yeah, so. But I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
That, you know,
he's the harbinger of 2024, Cat Williams.
Yeah, but I think it was just more that he may have known that there was, you know, investigation happening. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
You know,
maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that for a fact.
So,
but anyway,
what I understand, Diddy found out. He found out he was about to. He and his family were about to fly off to vacation somewhere.
Yeah,
in the
Barbados or whatever it is.
Yeah, and Fed stopped his plane from leaving the tarmac.
Confiscated his phones, and then they still got to leave.
Didn't they get his plane?
Oh, they did.
Too,
okay.
His plane is now confiscated.
So maybe you're gonna raid someone's mansions and everything, but not arrest them. Like at least for 24 hours,
right? Not pin them down. But apparently, you know, I guess you're Diddy. You don't get to. But I was like, well, wouldn't you just say, hey, pilot, let's go to this non-extradition country? Right?
Yeah,
you
know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah.
Well, because the one there, you
but
got
you
like,
could track. They tracked his that guy that I was watching. They tracked P. Diddy's plane to where it went, stopped at Miami, and then blah blah. You know, whatever. So,
and not a whole lot of non-extradition countries left. There's like it's like Peru and Russia, I think. You know, wherever Edward Snowden went. You know, not great places.
Understood.
Homeland Security ratings don't fall out of the sky.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I even mention it, because I did look into it because we were talking about it on the show yesterday, I guess it was, and now more people are being arrested that
in all in connection to this.
Yeah, his quote unquote alleged drug mule has been arrested. Was arrested out of Miami Airport.
Does he have a manager and people that are all getting?
Yeah, I don't know. Not yet. None of those people. Okay. I don't think yet have been implicated. But So it doesn't look great.
No,
for P. Diddy.
No, it does not.
It looked like a the Osama bin Laden raid or something. Mm. Man, they were like military vehicles.
And last I heard, there was like a large. Okay, but you know how Hollywood puts it. And we know how a large arsenal. We know what a large arsenal looks like here in the South, versus a large arsenal to somebody in L.A. or Miami. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they said there was a large arsenal, that was confiscated
by
P. Diddy at P. Diddy's home. So.
That's wealth, you know. Yeah. You got money tied up in firearms. That's not a bad investment.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. And in our states, you can own as many as you want.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't surprise me. The guy's always—he's a bad boy.
There you go.
Always has been.
Yeah, I mean, his best one of his best buds was shot and killed in the whole East Coast West Coast stuff, right? So,
and as you said on the other day, I mean, it's like people like to think or want to say that he was the target for that stuff. He definitely. I'm gonna have to look it up, but I remember hearing about him secondhand or something. But it was P. Diddy's doing shooting up a club, and obviously, heavily implicated in Tupac's murder and all that crap, you know. So, Shine, That's what it's like. What went on with Shine? PD is involved in that. He shot the place up. Shine got blamed or something. Shine flashed a gun.
Something went along to those lines. He went to jail for it.
Pity. Yeah. Pity.
Pity. And, yeah. Which is like, he ain't getting none.
None.
But I think the Homeland raid more specifically was about the human trafficking.
Sure.
Because they said human trafficking multiple times. So.
But when I first saw that, I was like, oh, he's they've been investigating all this shit. And there was like a recent thing I read about Tupac's murder, like somebody was arrested.
Yeah,
or something
the
like
guy,
that.
The guy that said that ultimately shot, pulled the trigger, was arrested. Yeah. Now I don't know if they're still doing an investigation about.
So I assumed it was that right off the bat. I didn't assume P. Diddler, but I guess
it is definitely Diddler. Allegedly,
really close to the organization must be talking.
Yeah, you know,
that's
rats are squeaking.
Yeah, exactly. Because some deep shit.
I think multiple people have talked.
Yeah.
I do. I think for sure.
Sam. Well, Cat Williams was right on that then.
Hey.
You know,
if you're in,
you know, but Joe Rogan, the
and this
thing
is the
about
thing, if you are in that lifestyle where you're hanging around rap stars and comedy stars and you know, movie stars
that's
and
like,
making movies, you know, and making just, you know. And like P. Diddy was making that TV show, The Making of the Stars, you know what I mean? So
what was that? Yeah.
Maybe they cross paths a lot, and he offered it to Cat. Hey, come back and get whatever you want.
Mm,
you know, youngins like and old or whatever. Yeah, and he was like, hey, I ain't like that.
I said no, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, and then
I said no.
I love it, and so you know, and maybe that's how he was like, oh yeah, we know P. Diddy's going down because I know he's bad. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't know.
P. Diddy's Baphomet, the frozen head of Baphomet, transgender.
Drinky
people
yak.
People saying the goat.
Oh man.
Yes.
I got one more thing. Okay. Do you guys got anything? Anything you wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
It was what I texted you yesterday. The ridiculous text message. I figured I'd talk about it on here because I can't talk about it on the main show. Yesterday, went home and was sitting on. I have a bunch of chairs on my driveway, right? And I'm then I'm under the carport with my back turned to the driveway, sitting down in a chair, and I'm listening to this radio show from back in the day, and it was XM, right? Satellite radio. So they take their liberties with the language and all that as they do. And they were listening to parody songs about Paul McCartney and his wife at the time, Heather Mills. You know, they were making fun of, they were doing like Beatles songs, parodies of Heather Mills missing a leg and stuff, because she had a, you know, missing a leg, she had a stump and all that. And one of the comedians on there was getting sick of the parody songs or whatever. And so the joke, I'll just do the joke, but it's not even really part of the story. He does the joke. He's like, yeah, I've got, he is something about basically we've got Natalie Hartley in the back who was writing a book about her pornographic past called Oh My Aching Cunt, right? That was the joke. And it gets such a rolling laugh in the studio. It caught me off guard. I just started cracking up. Had to back it up a couple times. I probably listened to it like 3 or 4 times. Every time louder and louder. Oh My Aching Cunt. And on the last time I'm sitting there, I'm laughing. I like throw my head back and I just hear, hello? And there's a fucking lady standing behind me like 2 feet away from me.
Oh no.
Right in my driveway. She pulled up in some hybrid ass car. So I didn't even hear nothing. Didn't even hear the door close or anything. Maybe I was too wrapped up. My phone's loud, right? So I'm like, oh my aching cunt. Oh my aching cunt.
Multiple times
laughing. Hello? And hello. And I like get up. I shoot up. I'm like, hi, you know, and she's like, I was really hoping to talk about what the kingdom of God meant to you. And I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to talk about what that means to me. And she looked at me and she's like, yeah. And she like started turning back and she was like, maybe we ought to talk about something else next time. Don't know what that meant. Sounded like, yeah. But
that's
she was like old lady. Threatening or coming on to me. I don't know which one. She's like an old lady. But yeah, she had like a crew, dude, a crew of cronies standing around the hybrid vehicle. One of them being like this 6 foot tall, gorgeous, with long blonde hair woman, like, you know.
Can I talk to her about it?
Yeah.
Send her.
But like, I caught her eyes. She looked like
horrified.
She's crazy. She's like, she's out of her mind. Yeah, that one.
They say the prettier they are, the crazier.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like just a little story. I was very embarrassing as she walked back to her car and definitely told them, like,
people are relentless.
What's
man.
An aching
yeah.
cunt?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I know you got one that lives in your neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those. Member of the kingdom. And she must be sick and I'm on the rest of y'all or something.
Oh, man. Yeah, they are relentless. It's if it's not boys in suits knocking on my door at 8:30 at night.
Yeah,
it's old ladies listening to what I'm listening to at 11 o'clock in the morning on my driveway.
Yeah, oh you my know? Gosh, man! I tell you, one time if we ever had a JW come by our house and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm Catholic, and they were like, oh. And they turned around, left, and never went. And I tried that in other places before. There's something there. Those two do not mix. If I had told them, I'm like, well, I'm Hindu or I'm an atheist or a Muslim or something, they'd been like, well, we'll work on that. We'll work on that. We'll be back. But you tell them you're Catholic, oh, they cross you off the list.
Huh. She did say something like, we all listen to the... It wasn't as short as an interaction as I'm giving. She said, we all listen to the hymns and sang the hymns as children, right? And I was like... And she was like, yeah, but people don't really know what they mean. Do you know what they mean? You know? And I'm like, who cares, dude? Who cares?
What the hell are you
it's
talking about?
It's such a
about?
Weird thing. Like, my relationship with God is, you know, why? Like, is it not good enough for you? You know, like, if I, let's say I have one or I don't, who gives a shit if I know exactly what, oh, ye faithful or whatever, ride over the mountains or whatever dumb shit is, what it actually means. It's if it means something to you, it means something to you. If it don't, it don't. Like, who cares, you know? And she's just like, you know, people are walking around not knowing what they're singing about. They're singing. That's the point.
Like, I mean, you could say, if you want to argue that point specifically, a hymn was written by a human.
Yeah.
Ultimately. I mean, if you want to go to, like, the biblical beliefs, the hand of God helped write all of the Bible,
yeah.
But hymns are written by people.
Right.
So, to believe or to know what is all, you know, it's just kind of...
Yeah. It's all open to interpretation exactly. When it's a hymn. I suggest you get into math. The numbers are a lot more plain. There's no stories they make, this and that and the other. There's a right answer and a wrong answer.
That's true.
Get into that.
Black and white.
Yeah. And
no gray area.
Take your cunt off my property.
Music is all gray area, because it's all open to interpretation.
Of course, of course. So there you go. That's all I had on that. Just got caught and embarrassed by a Jehovah's Witness trying to... Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Maybe it'll keep them off my lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
The hell out of here.
That or, again, they're going to double down.
Yeah, like, yeah. This guy really needs saving.
Yeah. You're elders stopping by the next level.
Next time they're going to catch me watching porn. It's just going to get worse and worse.
Hey, don't bother me. Look what I'm watching.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Let's get on out of here. Regrettable podcast, blah, blah, blah. We're going to see y'all next week.